Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Roped In. I'm your host, John Roper. I had a pretty, a pretty decent week as a sports fan for my favorite sports teams. So I'm going to start off with a negative. It was my birthday on Tuesday. Positive. Chelsea lost 5-0 to Arsenal. Big, big negative. So that kind of really, really sucked. But the Cubs are off to a scorching start. It is the best start since the 2016 season. The 2016 season was the year the Cubs won the World Series. Now, I don't think the Cubs are going to win the World Series. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm going to say it always. I want them to win. I do not think this roster is going to be playoff contending. However, I think they're good enough to get into the playoffs. I mean, they're really showing it. They're a young team. They've got a really good farm system, but I'm going to be getting into that in a future episode where I'm going to be ranking farm systems. But yes, the Cubs are off to an amazing start. Rookie Shota Imanaga is just killing it right now. As an Eagles fan, the NFL draft was this weekend, and I just think the Eagles walked away with a really, really good draft. Miami Heat, we lost Jimmy Butler in an injury, so we're going up against the number one seed Boston Celtics, and we won in Boston. I mean, yeah, we got our butt smacked yesterday at home, but we won in Boston, so I'm happy about that. It's good things that are happening. I'm a Seattle Kraken fan, so they're not in the playoffs, so I can't say much happened there, but overall, I really like what I saw. I really like kind of what happened. It was a fun week. On this episode, though, I am going to be talking about the best rookie seasons. I just dropped a name in this kind of thing. Shota Imanaga is having an amazing rookie season, which made me then start to think, what are kind of the best rookie seasons of those four North American sports? Then I'm also going to be talking about the NFL draft recap. Again, I said the Eagles rocked it, so I'm going to be kind of discussing the entire league. Not going to be breaking it down like WNBA. There are 32 teams in 7 rounds. I cannot go through them all and grade every single team. That would take too long and be a full episode. But I'm just going to be talking about my thoughts overall. And then finally, I'm going to be wrapping it up with just a little fun segment of kind of the best GMs in the modern sports. Now, again, when I say modern sports, I'm just going to be talking about NBA, NFL, and baseball, because those are the sports that I really know. I don't really know much about NHL GM, so I can't get into that too much. But those other three leagues, I like to think I know a decent amount, so I'm going to be discussing who I think are the best GMs. Currently today, kind of going off the past 5 to 10 years of what I've seen lately. So, yeah, there you have it. Again, we've got the best rookie seasons, the NFL draft recap, and the best GMs in sports. So without further ado, sit back, relax, and let's get right into it. And here we are in the segment, again, going to be talking about the best rookie seasons in sports. So, as I mentioned in the intro there, the Chicago Cubs are off to a very, very hot start. We lost our ace, Justin Steele, in the first game, but then our rookie signing, he's a 30-year-old Japanese pitcher. So, yes, there's that bit of asterisk to this because he's been a professional over in Japan for a while. So, to say he's a rookie isn't the same as what most North American sports people would think of as rookies. But we signed into a 4-year, $53 million deal, which is looking like an absolute flippin' bargain right now. He is 4-0 in his 5 starts, a .98 ERA, and has 25 strikeouts to his 25 innings pitched. For those that don't know what ERA is, it's earned runs against. Basically, that's how many runs you give up in 9 innings of baseball, which is an entire game. So what they're trying to say is Shota Imanaga in his entire, in his starts, is basically giving up less than 1 run a game. If he was to play the entire game, he's giving up less than 1 run a game. Barely, but he's still doing it. It is a wicked hot start. I think it's the best start ever for any Chicago Cubs pitcher. Absolutely impressive. He's second in the league in ERA. It is just so fun to watch him. Shota Imanaga, I think, has just won the Chicago fans over. he came over and he's just fallen in love with the city. I think that's why he kind of picked Chicago as well. He went to a Chicago Blackhawks game, and his walkout song is Chelsea Dagger. For those that don't know what Chelsea Dagger is, this is it. Pretty iconic song, I think, for the city of Chicago. I mean, it's the goal song for the Blackhawks. He's fallen in love with it. The city of Chicago loves it. Everybody loves Shota. So yes, he's a rookie, and I want him to win Rookie of the Year. I think if he continues this, he will win Rookie of the Year. Funny to say it at 30 years old. But now we'll jump into who I think kind of is the best Rookie of the Year in each of the four major sports in America right now. Let's kick it off with baseball, starting with Shohei Ohtani and everything. So, I think there's three people that can kind of be in contention here. One is Jackie Robinson. So, Jackie Robinson, most people just know him. He's the legendary. He's kind of basically the first really historic black player in baseball. Broke that kind of race barrier. He had a .297 batting average with 29 stolen bases, which led the league. He walked twice as many times as he struck out, which is insane. His rookie season for the Dodgers is absolutely impressive. And I don't want to take anything away from it, but I think a lot of people give it the hype because of that race barrier break, which is huge. And I'll give him every bit of credit for it. But if I'm going strictly on stats, I cannot say he's the best. If you're looking at stats alone, it might be someone like Ichiro Suzuki. So Ichiro had his rookie year with the Seattle Mariners. Now, Ichiro, in a bit of a knock on him like Shota Imanaga, is he played in the Japanese League before the MLB, and the Japanese League I think is very, very, very good. So it's not like he was getting into his professional career. But he had a .350 batting average, 242 hits, which is the 10th best ever, 56 stolen bases, which led the league. He was a amazing threat between just hitting the ball, speed, lefty. I mean, he had so many stolen bases, so many just beat it out hits. He was great at bunting, a cannon of an arm, a great fielder. I mean, Ichiro just embodied a great baseball player his entire career from the beginning to the end. But where I'm going to give it to actually is where I'm looking at just the true rookie to the professional career. And to me, Mike Trout had the best rookie season ever. So Mike Trout had 30 home runs. He had 49 stolen bases, which was up near the top of the league if it was not leading it. He was 49 out of 54 attempts. So he only got tagged out 5 times, which is crazy as a rookie. He did absolutely everything in the outfield. And what's crazy to think is he wasn't even the super hyped prospect going into the year. It was Yoenis Cespedes of the Athletics just because he was so electric as well. Mike Trout also started the year in the AAA, and then the Angels called him up. And then he put together, again, what I'm going to say is the best true professional rookie season in baseball history was Mike Trout in my eyes. Now we'll move on to hockey. Now hockey, I can't say I know a crazy much, so please let me know in the comment section if I'm missing somebody completely. I don't think I'm going to get this one wrong, though. My favorite player of all time, not that he's the best, but my favorite player of all time, OVO, Alex Ovechkin, the Russian that plays for the Washington Capitals. I think he is absolutely amazing. He was my first favorite hockey player and is still to this day my favorite hockey player of all time. And he had a really impressive rookie season with 52 goals and 54 assists. And arguably one of the best goals I've ever seen in my life. You should look it up. I don't know the real game, but if you just look up the Alex Ovechkin rookie goal, you'll probably see it. He was skating through. Everybody thought the play was done. The defender made a really good play, hit him right before the net, fell on the back. The goaltender kind of also gave up on the play and got kind of trapped up in the whole play. But then Ovechkin from his back behind his head, like on his neck, gets a goal. It was absolutely impressive. Alex Ovechkin, such a great rookie season, but he was not the best. I think you probably could have guessed it just by knowing a little bit of hockey knowledge. It's the great one. It's Wayne Gretzky. His rookie season with the Oilers, he had 51 goals, 86 assists, which led the league, and he was also MVP of the league that year. It is crazy to think that he could put together that stat. I mean, actually, I shouldn't say it's crazy to think, because if you know anything about the Wayne Gretzky stats, he was doing it from the second he got in there. So Wayne Gretzky had the most impressive rookie season. And it's arguably the greatest athlete of all time. Moving on to the NFL. NFL was also tricky. It's similar to baseball, but I don't know a crazy enough about baseball history. But there are just so many positions and so many different things that it's kind of tough to pick one rookie of the year. I mean, a name that popped in my head right away was actually Devin Hester. So Devin Hester was he drafted as a cornerback. I think he ended his career as a wide receiver, but he was a return threat. He played for the University of Miami, and the Chicago Bears drafted him, and he had 1,128 return yards. He had that for return yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, he is single-handedly the greatest return man of all time and did it from the second he stepped in the NFL. I mean, in the Super Bowl that year, the Bears were up against the Colts, in which Peyton Manning actually won. That was a really fun Super Bowl to watch. But Devin Hester had an opening Super Bowl kickoff return for a touchdown. Absolutely electric for a rookie. I mean, I'm excited that the NFL has changed the rules a little bit to see returning come back in the game. NFL, a bit of a spoiler in a bit, but the Eagles drafted Cooper DeJean, who I think can be the best return man in the NFL. And now that they're allowing returns to be a thing again, it's going to be fun to watch. So Hester was a name that jumped in my head. Another one was Randy Moss. So Randy Moss holds the record still for the most receiving touchdowns for a rookie with 17. If I'm correct, that was also the year with the Vikings that he had 3 catches for 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. Just ridiculous to think about. So he also popped in my head. On the defensive side now, someone like Javon Kurse, who was drafted by the Titans, he still holds the record with 14.5 sacks, which I think is crazy to think of as a rookie. But the one that stands out to me is actually the best defensive rookie, probably Micah Parsons. It's really crazy to think about, but Micah Parsons had 86 tackles and 13 sacks as a rookie, terrorizing everything. He plays in the division of my favorite EAGLES Eagles, and he's been terrorizing us and the entire league from the second he stepped in the NFL, and I don't think it's going to stop. His rookie season was just uber impressive. But to me, the most impressive, just overall, whether it's offensive, defensive, or special teams, rookie of the year was Eric Dickerson of the Rams. I think this is when they were in LA, so the Los Angeles Rams. But he had 1,800 rushing yards and 18 touchdowns. He had, I think, 2,200 yards from scrimmage, which at the time was the second most ever. And he did this all as a rookie. Now, he averaged about 350 carries per year for his career. So his career was kind of short, but it started with a bang, an absolute bang. I mean, 1,800 yards and 18 touchdowns as a rookie, I don't think that's ever going to be broken. Eric Dickerson holds that record. Now, moving on to the final of the leagues, it's NBA. Now, the GOAT conversation is amongst a lot of people. I shouldn't say a lot of people. It's amongst about 4 or 5 people, but most predominantly is between MJ and LeBron. But neither of these two actually had the best rookie record. Of the two, it was MJ, and of the two, MJ is the GOAT. But MJ had the better rookie season. He was the 3rd overall pick by the Bulls, and had 28 points, 6 boards, and 6 assists as a rookie. He dominated from the second he got in there. LeBron James, don't get me wrong, he had a great rookie season. I mean, he had 21 points, 6 boards, and 5 assists in his rookie season. Some can argue that during LeBron's generation, the league was better, so to average those numbers is crazy, but shut up, Michael Jordan's amazing. However, statistics-wise, it's got to be Wilt Chamberlain. Now, Wilt Chamberlain is the statistic kind of... He was probably the one guy where I don't want to give it to him mainly on the fact that people don't like just stat chasers, and I do think that Wilt Chamberlain was there. Now, don't get me wrong, I think Wilt Chamberlain was amazing and the team played to his talent, but I do think there was a degree of stat chasing. I mean, his rookie season was 37 points, 27 boards, and 2 assists. No rookie has ever got 37 points a game. No rookie has ever got 27 boards a game. No rookie has ever done them in the same season. So Wilt Chamberlain was also MVP that year. I mean, it is undoubtedly the best rookie campaign ever, and I don't think it's ever going to be broken. It's just, again, how much of it was stat chasing, stat padding, all that kind of stuff, but it's still the best rookie season of all time. So Wilt, you've got it for basketball. Mike Trout, you've got it for baseball. The great one, Wayne Gretzky, has it for hockey. And again, Eric Dickerson has got it for football. There you have it, the best rookies of the 4 North American sports. And now, keeping in tune to John's amazing sports week, we're switching to the NFL draft recap, where, spoiler, the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, had the best draft. Now, there are a lot of teams that I think had some really, really good drafts, but in terms of me being a huge Eagles fan, I think the Eagles knocked it out of the park with every single pick and every single thing that they did. But I'm not going to be giving team grades like I did with the WNBA. There are just too many teams to go through them all. But I'm going to be talking about, you know, things that I did really like, and then things that I think were not that great, and then just overall prospects. So, again, a few episodes ago, me and my friend Spencer did a NFL mock draft. So, we got the first 3 picks right, which was amazing. We got the Vikings trading up for J.J. McCarthy, which was good. We had Bo Nix to the Broncos, which was cool. So it was cool to get a couple of picks in a couple of places, but one pick, which I will get into, I think shook the entire first round, and in my eyes was a ridiculous pick based on other things that this team did. But starting off, no surprise, Caleb Williams was the number one pick. Now, I don't know why. He could prove me wrong. I can easily change my mind on this. Like, I'm not dead set, but Caleb Williams was the number one pick, and I kind of don't want him to succeed right away. I mean, again, as I mentioned in the mock draft episode, I was a big fan of Justin Fields, and I don't think that Chicago gave him the right pieces and weapons to succeed, at least as much as they are Caleb Williams right now. I mean, they brought in DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, and another spoiler is they drafted Rome Odunze later on. Justin Fields kind of had a pool at running back, and DJ Moore as a really, really good receiver. So DJ Moore is still there. Cole Kmet's a good tight end, but he didn't have much around him. So Caleb Williams has a much better thing right away. Now, I also do think Caleb Williams is a better prospect going into it than Justin Fields was. So I can understand potentially where the Bears are coming from, but also other things. It's not just that. Like, he's just, there's certain things that he does in the media. I just rubs me the wrong way here and there, but he also does some things that I do really like. So that's why I'm saying I could be swayed, but this isn't a personality thing. Caleb Williams was undoubtedly the best prospect in the draft. So the Chicago Bears knocked it out of the park, and I think they knocked it out of the park with their first 2 picks. So again, as I mentioned, they got Rome Odunze. So they had the number 1 pick and the number 9 pick, and I don't think they failed. Their offense is really set now. They still do, in my mind, need an offensive line. Jenkins is good. Braxton Jones is good. They've got another offensive lineman that's good, but they're injury prone, and you need a quarterback to protect, because that was partly Justin Fields' problem as well. But they've got the weapons around, so I think the Bears did a really good job after the Justin Fields trade to do what they needed to get a good offense. I like that Jaden Daniels went 2nd to the Commanders. Again, as I said in the mock draft, I like Jaden Daniels over Drake May. I just think he's more versatile of a player. But I also really like Drake May. So again, New England rocked it with Drake May. There was speculation that New England would have traded out of this spot, and I think that would have been really, really silly of them. I don't think they ever really would have. Maybe they were just hearing things out to see how desperate teams actually were. But I think that they did the very, very right thing. Mac Jones had a good rookie season, didn't really do much, and they traded him to Jacksonville. So they had no quarterback. They needed one, so they knocked it with Drake May. And then I also think the Cardinals did the right thing. So I projected them to trade with the Vikings on this one, and the Vikings were going to take J.J. McCarthy here. But I think if Arizona is going to stick with Kyler Murray and potentially have that contract coming up soon, or the big contract that's going to be paid for Murray soon, you've got to get the weapons around him. You traded away Marquise Brown because that didn't really work out. So I think bringing in the best wide receiver prospect that I can remember in a long time that could, I mentioned him in last episode, it could go down as the best father-son duo. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals was a great pick. And then just finishing the top five, Joe Alt to the Chargers. You know, I think they could have potentially gotten somebody like Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze here and gotten a weapon for Justin Herbert after trading away Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. But Joshua Palmer's not bad. Again, Quentin Johnson didn't have the greatest rookie year, but that doesn't mean he can't turn it around. I just, you know, getting an offensive lineman, I do like building in the trenches, so this is not a bad pick. Joe Alt could go down as just a everyday starter from day one and a legendary lineman to go pair up with the other tackle in Rashawn Slater. So the Chargers didn't do a bad thing in just picking the overall number one lineman in the draft. And then the shocker of the draft, Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. went 8. So now I'm not going to knock the player at the pick. Penix Jr. at 8 isn't the dumbest thing. He's a decent player. He's got some injury issues, and some injury, like risks or what's the word I'm looking for? Like injury prone. People are worried about him getting injured. But where it's perplexing to me is they gave Kirk Cousins $180 million for 4 years this offseason. Now, it is like a two-year kind of one of those two-year option contracts. But it's just very weird that if you're planning to draft a quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., I don't think was ever projected. I don't think there was a risk. So in saying you're going to sign Kirk Cousins in case you didn't get Penix Jr., I don't think Penix Jr. was ever projected to go 8th. If anything, J.J. McCarthy was projected to go higher, so I don't know what the Atlanta Falcons were really thinking. If Michael Penix Jr. was in their head the whole time, why pick Kirk Cousins? And people have been saying, well, they're doing the Jordan Love, they're doing what the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Big difference in my eyes. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love were both drafted in the 20th of the picks and were younger. I mean, Penix Jr. is a 24-year-old rookie. And also, the Packers at the time didn't have as many holes as the Falcons did. They were good teams. So drafting somebody like Aaron Rodgers to kind of overtake Brett Favre one day wasn't ridiculous. I mean, yeah, at the time, the Packers also hated the pick, but it turned out to be amazing. So Jordan Love, same thing. When he came in for Aaron Rodgers, everyone was like, oh, I don't like this pick. But now I'm sure they're really liking the pick. But the difference, again, they didn't waste a top 10 pick, and they didn't have as many holes as the Falcons did. And they didn't just pay the quarterback that much money the offseason before he even took a snap for them. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was finishing his career in Green Bay. Brett Favre was finishing his career in Green Bay. Kirk Cousins is just starting his in Atlanta with Penix Jr. Like, the pick just does not make sense to me because of the move with Kirk Cousins. Now, I don't mind Penix Jr. at 8. Again, I hate it with what they did with Kirk Cousins. I think they should have gone Dallas Turner. They really need defensive help, and Dallas Turner could be the best defensive. I mean, I actually like Lea Tulatu, but Dallas Turner is the non-injury risked one. But getting Penix Jr. here was just a mind-boggling one, and it shook the draft. Nobody really knew what was happening. But then again, Minnesota did a trade-up like we projected in my mock draft, but not 2-4. They traded up to 10 with the Jets. So they traded up 1 to get their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. I don't understand that. I don't think... I mean, who knows? Maybe the Jets were planning to do a Green Bay Packers and draft J.J. McCarthy to supplant Aaron Rodgers again. But I don't think J.J. McCarthy was going to get drafted by the Jets, so I don't know why the Vikings did that. They traded up for no reason in my mind. But they got the quarterback they wanted. Brock Bowers, I think, is going to be a great tight end. So the Raiders got a good one. Again, I like Latu, so the Colts got a really, really good one. But where I was really shocked, but then also super excited to see where it went, was the first defensive back, the first cornerback, went off the board at 22. now 22, was the pick of my E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles. And we desperately needed cornerback help after watching our downfall last year. So we got the best corner. Again, in my mock draft, I projected him to go a lot higher, but I projected him to be the best cornerback, and he was. Quinyon Mitchell, the best defensive back. Philadelphia got him. Now, how he fell to 22 is beyond me. We got lucky with Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith falling to us where they fell last year, and then we got lucky this year with Quinyon Mitchell falling to us. So that was absolutely huge. And then cornerbacks started to go with Terrion Arnold going not late after to the Lions. But that's where I was super excited to see that. Another just shocking one that happened in the first round was the Bills. The Bills traded the 28th pick for the 32nd pick to the Chiefs for the Chiefs to draft Xavier Worthy, who had the fastest 40-yard dash time in NFL history, which basically means they could have found their new Tyreek Hill. He fits that system perfectly. The Bills, who have been knocked out by the Chiefs so many seasons in a row recently, that just made absolutely no sense to me. Now, what they said is, well, you know, the Chiefs could have traded up with anybody, and who's to say that they wouldn't have gotten their man? You know, I get that. You've got to field your picks, but you cannot be the one that hand delivers it to them. You personally cannot. I mean, picking after them would have been Dallas, Baltimore, San Francisco. Now, yes, none of those teams really needed receiver. Actually, you know what? The 49ers did need a receiver, so they probably weren't going to trade up. They did draft a receiver in Pearsall, but they might have drafted Xavier Worthy if Xavier Worthy wasn't drafted already. But the Ravens drafted Nate Wiggins, and the Cowboys drafted a lineman. So the Chiefs, I don't know. I don't think that they would have necessarily gotten a trade with any of those three. So the Bills hand-delivered Xavier Worthy to them. And then they traded out again. Gabe Panthers, the first pick, and they got Xavier Leggett now. The Bills did get a receiver in Keon Coleman. They had the first pick in the second round. That's the pick they traded with Carolina. So that one wasn't as mind-boggling. But to give Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs was just, in my mind, ridiculous. But where I was super excited in the second round was seeing Ladd McConkey go to the Chargers, getting him a weapon. I think McConkey could be a pretty good receiver. So maybe that's why they went with the offensive line first, knowing that's a deep receiver class, but not necessarily a deep offensive lineman class. I mean, even Jalen Polk would have been really good at that pick there. But the one that I absolutely loved, I projected it in the mock draft that the Eagles would trade up for Cooper DeJean. I just predicted it a round too early. They did it in the second round, and they got Cooper DeJean, who was my favorite prospect going into the draft. So DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell is what gives Philadelphia just arguably one of the best drafts right there in itself. They knocked it out of the park with those two picks. They needed defensive back help. Cooper DeJean could play every position. He could play nickel corner. He could play outside corner. He can play safety. Quinyon Mitchell is going to be a lockdown safety no matter where you put him in the future. I think they really solidified it. I mean, when you look at the recent defensive picks, you've got Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, N'Kobe Dean, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, this defense is set for a while to go along with this offense that's really high-powered. So I absolutely loved it. Kool-Aid McKinstry went right after him to the Saints. I think the Raiders had a really good kind of first and second round. So again, they got Brock Bowers, and I think they got the best center in the league or in the draft in Jackson Powers Johnson. So they had a really, really good 1-2 draft as well. But I'm not going to sit back and say I know a crazy amount. I mean, Javon Ballard falling to the Packers in the second round was another really, really good pickup in the second round for a team. I thought he would have been an Eagles draft pick. But I like that we got DeJean instead. So Packers, I think, nailed it with that pick. The other name that I really, really liked that I thought was going to go a lot earlier was actually Kingsley Suamataya. He's a tackle that went to the Chiefs. Now, I really like Suamataya. I just don't like seeing the Chiefs dynasty, but it's a great pickup for them. So that's going to be really impressive to see. He's anchored behind the two gigantic offensive linemen in the Browns. But Kingsley Suamataya is a really, really good pick there. Now, moving on to some of the later rounds. Most of it that I do know is going to be kind of Philadelphia stuff. I'm not going to say I sat back and I did a crazy amount, so I don't know a lot of things. A name that was fun to see was Luke McCaffrey going in the very end of the third round. Yes, he is the brother of Christian McCaffrey. He ran a really, really good 40-yard dash at the combine, so him in the third round was interesting. It's going to be fun to see if he can really be a productive player. Obviously, he's not going to be like his brother, but can he be a productive player? Time will tell. But fourth round is where I think a couple of steals happened. So Jatavion Sanders was the first pick in the fourth round to the Panthers, and I think it was an absolute steal at fourth round value. I thought he could have been a second round tight end, and he went in the fourth. Give another weapon to Bryce Young to see if he can turn his career around. So that was really, really good to watch. Eric Ali, another tight end, is another Iowa guy. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes. But one that I really liked, I think Philadelphia getting Will Shipley. Saquon Barkley has his injury issues, and they've already got Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell. So Will Shipley fits that kind of three-headed monster rotation that they would do. He's a Clemson guy, so he plays on a really, really good team, kind of coming from that organization. So I was happy with the Eagles getting Will Shipley all the way in the fourth round. That was just crazy to see. Another big fourth round running back that I actually personally wanted over Will Shipley was actually Braylon Allen from Wisconsin. I think he could be a really good just unit of a running back, but I'm not upset with Will Shipley. I just think the Jets also got a really good person there in the fourth round. And then in the fifth round, I'm not going to say I know a crazy amount of names, but again, the Raiders got a really good player, I think, in Tommy Eichenberg. So I think the Raiders had a really, really good pick draft. Then the Eagles picked up a receiver. I think they actually picked up two receivers here in the fifth round, which I think they really, really did need receivers, or maybe they got another receiver in the sixth. But they needed receivers. But the big one that I think just goes to please the Philadelphia Eagles fans was Jeremiah Trotter Jr. His father, Jeremiah Trotter, played for the Eagles for 11 years. And Jeremiah Trotter Jr., people were wanting him kind of drafted since the third round. I think a person that I would have liked to see my team draft, that we actually traded the pick away, was Jordan Travis. So I think Jordan Travis would have been a really good backup quarterback. I think he got injured, so he has his injury issues, but he had a really, really good season at Florida State. I mean, they would have potentially made the college bracket if it wasn't for him getting injured. So he's a good quarterback that I would have liked to be backup to Jalen Hurts, but we traded it away to the Jets just for the Jets to then pick him. But then at the end of the sixth and seventh round, I'm not going to say I know a crazy, crazy amount of names. I mean, one of the names I think I might have missed the round that he got drafted. I think I did. Yes. Torrey Taylor, drafted in the fourth round of the Chicago Bears. I think he's an electric punter. I think he's an Australian that played in Iowa. So he came out of the same university as my boy Cooper DeJean. But I think he can be a really good punter for the future. So Torrey Taylor being drafted in the fourth round was wild for a punter. Watching his highlights, I mean, he pins teams deep. He makes teams drive a long way. And, you know, that goes a long way in today's NFL, especially with the returns coming back. So Torrey Taylor was a good one. But overall, I absolutely love the Eagles. The mind-boggling one were the Falcons. I think they kind of lost because they ruined the offseason. So the draft overall, getting Penix at 8 wasn't terrible. But mixing it with their whole offseason, they've just kind of got a big question mark over their head. The Vikings trading up for no reason in my mind was an odd one. But Eagles and, from what I'm seeing here, Raiders kind of overall had the best draft. But again, you can't knock what the Bears did. There are certain teams that really nailed their first couple of picks. I just think the Eagles, yet again, had a fantastic NFL draft. And here we are with the third and final segment of the day, which is kind of just a follow-through of kind of the previous segment. It's just a fun little thing that I'm putting together. Now, I mainly know basketball, baseball, and football of the North American sports. So those are the leagues that I'm going to be talking about with the best GMs of the kind of past 5 to 10 years and currently today. But as I just mentioned in the NFL draft, I think the Eagles knocked out of the park, and I think the Eagles have been knocking out of the park for a long time. So with that being said, I think that Howie Roseman is the kind of best NFL GM in the past 5 to 10 years. So he came in kind of around the Chip Kelly area is where Roseman almost got booted back then. But then when they got rid of Chip Kelly, reins got back to Roseman because Chip Kelly was kind of like a GM. They brought him from Oregon and kind of gave him free reins, which I didn't like. So when he left, Howie Roseman kind of came in and said, all right, let's do this thing. Did a good job building around Carson Wentz to eventually get him to almost be an MVP, but win the first Super Bowl in Philadelphia history. He drafted basically the entire offensive and defensive line with Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Jason Kelsey, Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson. It's impressive the list in the front line in the trenches. I think multiple Hall of Famers. I think Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Jason Peters, Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson. They're all going to be Hall of Fame players, and they were all drafted by Howie Roseman in that County Howie Roseman era. He found Jalen Hurts in the second round, who, love him or hate him, had a really, really good kind of year that year, so getting him at second round was ridiculous. And lately, I mean, yeah, they're Georgia U. They're basically Georgia in the professional leagues, but he's been knocking out of the park. I mean, if you think about some of the recent drafts now, yes, I don't want to say they've all been amazing. In my eyes, the two biggest flops of almost NFL history, but definitely Eagles, is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, when we could have had... Dang, who could we've... I'm going to look it up right now. But the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was drafted in the first round by the Philadelphia Eagles. Ridiculous. He was drafted... What was it? In the teens. I remember that. But the receiver that we could have had was DK Metcalf. Now, a lot of teams passed on DK Metcalf, but we picked J.J. Arcega-Whiteside with the 57th pick. DK Metcalf went to the Seahawks with the 64th pick. So both second rounds, so basically every team passed up on them. But we picked Andre Dillard and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside with our first two picks who aren't even on our team anymore. We could have walked away with somebody like, you know, Marquise Brown, who hasn't been that amazing. But we definitely could have walked away with Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf. Everybody could have walked away with things like that. But, you know, that was it. And then we got Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson, which everybody laughed at. So, you know, Howie Roseman has a couple of flops under his belt. So I'm not going to sit here and say it's all, you know, rainbows and sunshines. But lately, he's been absolutely killing it with picks like, again, you know, I mentioned it, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell. Getting Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson, I already said, finding Jalen Hurts. You know, he's been getting some absolute amazing ones. And then not only that, but it's in the trade market. I mean, he got A.J. Brown for a bag of chips, basically, from the Titans. I mean, at the time, it was going to be somewhat crazy, but they got the safety that they got from the Titans was also just a crazy steal. He knows when to pull the trades. He's never really, in my eyes, gotten fleeced out of a trade. If anything, he does the fleecing. So Howie Roseman, in just the 5 to 10 years, maybe I'm biased when I say this, but he is the best GM in NFL today. Now, moving on to basketball, there's a couple of names that kind of pop in my head on this one. So Bob Myers is the Golden State Warriors. Now, I don't know how much of this is amazing GMing or just you nailed a couple of first picks early on and just haven't effed it up. So when I say that, the Golden State Warriors have kind of been the dynasty of the 2010s. I think the Nuggets are probably going to take over for the 2020s. The Heat tried to have the 2010s, but then the Warriors, in my eyes, did kind of take over. The Heat just had two championships early, and then the Warriors took over the rest of the year. But yes, the picks of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, building the grassroots. That's why you've got to put it. I mean, they built that team and they kept that team together. So he's got to be up there. Another name to me, Masai Ujiri. Now, where I'm not going to put Masai Ujiri as the best is, you know, I don't think he's gotten consistent success. But he's made some really, really good moves. His draft picks haven't been huge steals, but he's made some really, really good draft picks. I mean, sorry, trades. He seems to have made some, yeah, just great moves. I mean, he brought in Kawhi Leonard to win the championship. So Masai Ujiri is a really, really good kind of GM for the league. Pat Riley is the other name that jumped in my head. I mean, again, a bit biased as I was with the Eagles, but Pat Riley and a bit with Eric Spoelstra as well, but he was the one that put Eric Spoelstra in charge out of the video room. Not a lot of people probably would have thought about that. So he knew that Eric Spoelstra was the kind of coach he was. So I'm going to give it to there because you hire the coaches as a GM as well. So Pat Riley kind of doesn't value draft picks, so I can't necessarily say he's nailing draft picks, but the draft picks he does do, they're impressive. I mean, getting Bam Adebayo where they got Jaime Jaquez this year was amazing. Like, it was just really, really fun to see the picks that Pat Riley has been able to get and the trades that kind of have been able to get. So Pat Riley is up there, but one of the ones that I want to say is my favorite, you know, Pat Riley is the best. I'm going to say Pat Riley is the best, but where Sam Presti could take over that role, he's the GM of the Supersonics and the Thunder. So if I'm correct, he drafted bits of the and built together the Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka Thunder. Now, that fell apart because Kevin Durant wanted to leave town, and then it just fell apart from there. Part of it, yes, was Sam Presti deciding to pay Serge Ibaka over James Harden. I think if they had kept James Harden over Serge Ibaka, who's to tell? But at the time, Serge Ibaka was just the better fit and the better player for that team. Who's to know James Harden would have become what James Harden did? So he built that kind of initial core, and then it blew up. And then he just did one of the most impressive trading for draft pick rebuilds in any sports history of acquiring so many picks. I mean, it acquired 5 first round picks in the trade with Paul George. But it's just amazing to see what had been put together from Sam Presti. And now they're still one of the youngest teams, still have so many draft picks, and just finished first in the West. Or second in the West. Either way, they finished up there. So it's just crazy to see what Sam Presti has been able to do. However, if they don't win a championship, I cannot put him over Pat Riley because Pat Riley has been able to do that. They've been able to build the teams that have gotten them to 2 finals out of the past 5 years, which is just stupid to think when you look at the roster and where it kind of could have been. So Pat Riley is the best GM, I think, in NBA. But Sam Presti could take that role pretty soon, depending on how far OKC can go in the next couple of years. And then on to the final of the sports that I kind of really know would be baseball. So the name that jumped in my head right away is Theo Epstein. So Theo Epstein was part of the Boston Red Sox, you know, 15-ish years ago. And then he went over to the Cubs and he built the Cubs roster that won the World Series, and he put that all together. I have a book on it. It's called The Cubs Way. It was an amazing book to see, but how he kind of put it together in terms of the managers that he brought in, the players he brought in. He knew that he wanted to bring in the certain players. And yes, I wouldn't say he got lucky, but getting people like Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber, Javier Baez, to be a major core, John Lester, David Ross, getting Jake Arrieta to be a stud that year, Kyle Hendricks as a draft pick. I mean, he built an amazing team and just kept the Cubs in it. Now, he's no longer a GM, so this is where I can't put him in the same conversation like I did the other sports, because he's not a current GM. He is now with the Fenway Sports Group, which is part of the teams that owns the Boston Red Sox, which is also part of the group that owns Liverpool FC and a bunch of other things. So he's now with Fenway Sports Group, so I can't say that he's the best current GM, but he built the Cubs. I mean, he left the Cubs this offseason. So the Cubs, in my eyes, have the best farm system when you think of the overall AAA, AA, Class A kind of stuff. The Baltimore Orioles can rival them, but the Cubs and the Orioles have the best two farm systems. Theo Epstein helped build that. He helped put together the current roster, which is very much outperforming where a lot of people thought they could have been. So if Theo Epstein was currently playing, in my eyes, Theo Epstein would be up there, but he's not. So because of it, Mike Elias of the Baltimore Orioles is a name that I have up there. Again, I just mentioned that the Baltimore Orioles have the second best, if not the best, farm system in the league. And they just really, really shocked a lot of people with how much they performed. They had the best record in the league last year. I mean, you think of the young prospects like Grayson Rodriguez, Adley Rutschman, Heston Kjerstad, Jackson Holliday. That's only naming a few of them. I mean, he's done a really good job building a great team. But the man I'm going to give it to as the best GM in baseball is Alex Anthopoulos of the Atlanta Braves. Again, he's also done a really, really good job of building a good team. He's got some decent prospects. But where I'm going to give it to him is I don't know how he's gotten the contracts that he's gotten. I mean, Acuna, Albies, Michael Harris, Matt Olson, Sean Murphy. There are just so many names that you can spit off that he's locked up for the next kind of 4 or 5 years at all of them under the value you thought they should have been locked in at. So the Atlanta Braves are, in my eyes, the best, if not a top three team in baseball. They've won 6 straight division titles. He's won a World Series. And again, he's done it by somehow getting bargain contracts with every single one of his stars. So because Theo Epstein is no longer in there, Alex Anthopoulos, you are the best GM in baseball. And that brings us to another end of another episode of Roped In. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you had a lot of fun and enjoyed listening. Let me know in the comment sections who you think I might have missed, what you think I might have messed up on, what you want me to talk about in future episodes. I had a lot of fun recording this one. It was, again, a fun week. This past week, I mean, the Cubs, they got shelled 17-0 yesterday, but, you know, you can only lose by one or you can lose by 17, but a loss is a loss. So overall, it was a good week. All my teams had shining moments, which I think is pretty good, except for Chelsea. But the Eagles nailing the draft. The draft kind of was the main brunt of my kind of sports week. And the Eagles knocked it out of the park with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. I'm going to love watching them in Eagles jersey next year. But I'm done tying up your time. If this is on mute, it's about to finish and you can move on to whatever's next. Thank you very much for listening. My next episode next week. I'm not going to say I'm going to have a camera next week. I mentioned I'm getting into it. I haven't actually found the camera that I want to get for the budget that I have. So either I'm going to find the camera that fits my budget or I'm going to wait another few while for my savings to build up for my budget to fit the camera. Either way, I hope you all have a great day. And as always, Hakuna Matata.